gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening. And now, it's time! And welcome, everyone, to the Circle of the Main Championship on the line, Cage by IQ and EYR Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the host, Steven Swan. I've been seeing here with my other hosts, waiting for the other two. Modest and Payne will be coming in shortly, but I have a boy with the man with the IQ. That man, they don't why should have, you know, use this man how to book this card, but he is the IQ for a reason in that cage. Ladies and gentlemen, Dan Bakely, Cage by IQ, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. Brother.
Man, the last time we talked, we had a lot of controversy going into that pay-per-view. It got cleared up, but damn, what a midweek that was.
Oh, man, absolutely, man. What a 24-hour, like, change of event that it was, like, on a fucking Friday. So, man, let's get into it with that, you know, that discussion, because I want to get your thoughts about it. So, before, ladies and gentlemen, we're here to recap UFC 279, but we were supposed to get this card right here for 279. We're supposed to get Chimaev and Diaz. I like to say Diaz, but yes. But unfortunately, the unfortunate event happened on the weigh-in. Chimaev did not make the weight. He was at, 177, correct? Or was that what it was? 178,
I believe. He was at 178 and a half.
Yes,
man. And then, and then I think he got down to 178. So, but damn, that's 8 pounds off of the limit that you need to get to.
Oh man, yes, definitely. Shouts with my fams, of course, Mike De Niro.
What's going on,
DeLorean and Dom? Of course, Top Rope Wrestle Talk, ladies and gentlemen, and of course, one of the Modest and Payne is finally here. He is back. This piece of shit is back, but I love him. That's right. He's one half of the Modest and Payne. That's right, Alex.
Modest. I'm back, baby. Back.
You're back. You're back. The show, man. Is back. Yes, we do miss you.
You missed me, and I've missed you. And it's going to be a great time, and it's going to be fun.
Oh, it's going to be fun, man, especially because we got my boy Dan here, too, who's going to give us the more fun and interaction. So we're getting into what happened with the whole debacle with the whole weigh-in. The last minute, okay, before we go, let's bring on Richard. Here we go. Let's bring on out Rickard, if he could get his, you know, on the, there he is. There he is. The other half of Bodies of Pain, the former one-time Tapology World Champion, and he froze.
I'm here.
There he is.
I'm froze. I was like, I'm back.
Oh, there you go. Alex is back. As we see, look, they're even saying they miss you, Alex. You see, they miss you.
Who doesn't miss me? That's the question.
Yeah,
who doesn't?
I think Chris probably is missing most. I don't think that's. But yes, man, let's get into this. What happened with the situation, man? Especially, you know, Dana White changed the card due to Chimaev missing the weight. I think he was actually like 5-6 pounds over the weight. And of course, the way how, you know, Chimaev looked was just like, I missed the weight. Oh, well. And a lot of the fans, of course, in the you know, mixed martial arts community were not happy about it. And there was a whole debacle because they wanted to know what really happened. And when Dana White went live on IG, he pretty much, you know, discussed that the doctors told Chimaev that he had to stop cutting weight due to a medical condition. And he had to change the card because that study commission would not allow that fight to happen, even at the weight that Chimaev was and Nate Diaz. So, but, you know, I want to ask you guys, like, you know, the question that I have is, like, who's the blame here? And, I mean, besides, you know, the blame, was this the right move that Dana White did with all these changes? So I'll take it. You, Alex, you haven't been back, so take the floor, my brother. I want to hear your thoughts on this.
Yeah, my opinion on it, I think it's – honestly, it's Chimaev's fault. I think his job was to make weight, and he wasn't close to it. If it was such a problem to him for to making that weight, he should not have taken that fight and should have negotiated in a different weight class or taken another fight. But yeah, I think it's him to, you know, it's his fault, you know, didn't make the weight. And I don't know. I mean, it's like, I don't know. I think Nate, obviously what he did to Holland, very impressive, but you got to be honest. Holland did not train for him. He trained for another opponent, you know, and obviously when you didn't train for a wrestler or a good ground guy, I mean, you train for a specific different fighter. And I don't know. I think, I mean, I know a lot of people think he would have beaten Diaz, but I think Diaz would have put on a tougher fight. And what caught my eye in that fight is that Chimaev wasted a lot of energy trying to get that takedown. And one day he's going to fight someone that could stuff those takedowns, defend them. And what's going to happen now? That's the big question. So, okay. And Burns gave a little taste of that. So, and that was a tough fight. So, it's we'll see.
Dan, away, Dan, what are your thoughts about all this situation, this whole debacle?
Well, first off, I think the whole taking him down quick was like a calculated risk, knowing how Holland struggles against the takedowns. He was a bigger guy, and he felt like if he could get him taken down, he would be able to take his back, and that's what he did. I'm calling shadiness on this whole debacle. I'm calling shadiness. I'm calling him out because, come on now. First, Nate Diaz was saying that he was getting done dirty having to fight Chimaev, and then he goes, Chimaev, of course, had like, was it minus 800 odds, and then Diaz was like plus 1,000. It was that far to then go from that to then having to change everything. And I'm telling you, I think Chimaev was doing Dana a favor. I think he was doing a favor. I think Dana White knew that he was doing Diaz dirty. He wanted to give him a solid, so he's like, okay, don't cut the weight, because he didn't cut any weight at all, I felt like, because he was 8 pounds over. He wound up being 178. 8 pounds over. I've seen guys like William Knight be 20 pounds over and still fight that same week, but at heavyweight. They just moved it up because you can put the weight back on as the opponent, and it's just a catch weight per se. So I've seen guys like miss weight by a lot more and still get the fight that they had to begin with. So for them to say, oh, they can't do it, because I think that was in Vegas too, that matchup. But for this one, it's like, okay, you got – this affected the three fights, the six fights all in all. I looked at him like – I was watching. I'm like, watch, they're going to do Ferguson, because Ferguson and Diaz both were lightweights, and he's moving up the welterweight, so you could do that because both guys were already – game planning for that. You had Chimaev, who was at 180, and then who else was at 180 at the time? Kevin Holland. Yeah. So, and it was already a catch weight. And then you got Li Jiling, who had a little bit more weight on him, was could match up with Dana Rodriguez, same weight class. It was just that Rodriguez had a little bit more weight on him. That's it. It wasn't too much. It was like a few pounds. And then he was normally a bigger guy, so he was able to put that weight on. And it's just like, I think it was all along to just Nate Diaz got what he wanted. He got a matchup that he thought he could win, and he got to get set off with a win in front of a crowd that loves to root for him. And I feel like it just, after that whole debacle, I think Dana White was just like, you know what, I'm going to switch things up and go with this. I don't think the whole weight issue was like accidental. I think it was elaborate, and then you got the whole staged thing with the media day. Come on now, like I'm putting two and two together.
I love that. I love that.
And also, well, you know, too, like in a boxing world, I mean, if that were to happen, you negotiate, and then the person didn't make weight would give up this purse too to make that fight happen, which that usually happens a lot, which this fight was not talked about. It wasn't changed. We negotiated.
Apparently Diaz said that if he was overweight, he wasn't fighting. That's what he said. Like, he went to, what was the, a really good source that I check on Twitter, but that's always on point with this. But he was like, Nate Diaz told him, if he's overweight, I'm not taking it. So it's like, come on now. You would think with a guy that's like one with the one fight left on his contract, he would try to get as much money as he can in a lose-lose situation, because he doesn't know that he's going to just get matched up with another guy.
And plus, two, he didn't make weight, right? Nate Diaz didn't even make weight, right? He was like a pound over, right?
You're given a pound and a half allowance over the weight. So if it's 170, you can be 171, and that's considered making weight. So I think he got 171, so he was good, but Chimaev wasn't. And then in that normal situation, with him being over 5 pounds over, he would, instead of 20% purse, I think it would be 40% of his purse, of Shemaya's purse. And even then, he said no.
Interesting. Richard, give us your thoughts about this debacle.
I feel like you guys pretty much covered it. I mean, it is what it is. I know Dana White was talking about all the conspiracies and everything. And I mean, if you're in Diaz's, you know, his viewpoint, like, would I fight this monster that 8 pounds overweight, and that's not even counting how much water weight he already cut. So he probably had to cut at least just to get down to close to 8 pounds. So he's probably going to pack up another 10, 12 pounds on top of that. 8 pounds is already over. So, I mean, now he's going to face his monster while he made weight. It's not worth it. And I'm pretty sure they said, well, you know, with that crumbling, I'm pretty sure him and his team already knew that they're probably going to give him a new opponent. They're going to, you know, shuffle this. We know the UFC doesn't like, I think in the whole history, where they canceled like one card.
Since
Zuffa, you know, Zuffa took over. So I'm pretty sure they didn't want to do that again. So they had to salvage it and make all these catchweight belts. So Ferguson or Chimaev, that's fucking 20 pounds over or whatever by the time he eats and drinks after, you know, the ceremony weigh-in. So
yeah, definitely.
Good choice to pick Ferguson. And I would like to go out too.
I definitely agree. I wasn't really upset with this the switch. I actually it benefited Ferguson, to be honest, because now you're in the main event. And mind you, that Ferguson has it's more been a while since. And you know what? That's another thing too, that you know Dana didn't want to really disclose in the post conference. He's like, well, no, but we had contracts. No, we had deals. Okay, what was it? You know, they asked him, was it more money? What was the bonus pay? He did not want to disclose that because he knew that. I mean, we all know it's obvious. You switched the payroll for everyone in those six fighters because you had.
He was reported like $1 million at one point, I think.
I believe so. I think so.
He was the highest one.
Yeah, he was.
And then all of the stuff added to the buy rate. If you look at the pay per view, wind up getting $6 million in buy rate, which was more than the last pay per view with Edwards and Usman, and that was a good that was a good card. And this one. I think this one almost doubled it, I think, or it beat it by 2 million. It wasn't even close. This one had that one handily. But if you look at the scrum that happened, was it Wayans or whatever, the stare downs, whatnot, the guy that started it wasn't even fighting. Apparently, Paulo Costa started it. He we saw everything with him and Chimaev from the day before, 2 days beforehand. He started it, and then, of course, of all guys to get involved with Chimaev, it was Kevin Holland. So that Kevin Holland got in his face and vice versa. They're talking about, I'm going to beat your ass, yada, yada, yada. It's no coincidence that they get paired together when you could have paired other guys in different matchups, but you knew after that, you knew that was going to be a pairing right off the bat, especially with the 8 pounds off. And so all he had to do, he was only 2 pounds away from 180, and Holland made 180, so it was like it was a no-brainer there. Oh, and then I think the one guy that got the short end of the whole stick was Li Jiling.
I agree.
Like he had the nice tux. He had the glass sunglasses. He had everything. He had the great look. Even Nate Diaz was like, "Damn, this guy looks flying right now." and he couldn't even do it because the media day got canceled because of all that shit. And then he gets a new opponent, and instead of fighting Ferguson in the third fight, In the co-main event, he gets bumped to the third fight, and then he gets put with the Rodriguez. And just like Alex said, all the stylistic matchups change within every fight. Like Nate Diaz goes from he said training whole camp with the grappling to now he's just going up against a guy that he might grapple, but he's all about the striking, and then he had to deal with the leg kicks. So it's like, that changes a lot, especially within 2 days. You got to like get back into the swing of things to see what you can do in that 2 days to prep for your new opponent.
Definitely, definitely. And let's get into it, man. Let's freaking get into the card. Might as well. And that is right. We're recapping now with the updated card. Of course, Nate Diaz and Tony Ferguson in the main card. But we're going to start, of course, with first fight that – the one fight that did not change, and that is Johnny Walker and Ion Cutelaba. And, man, you know what? I want to get my thoughts on this fight right out of the way very momentarily, because Ion needs to stop being, you know, painting his face and act like aggressiveness, because you got your ass fucking kicked by Johnny Walker, man. And I you know, I think all three of us last week, I think we all went for Walker, right, Richard? And then, right? What round one, man? I cannot believe it. Round one submission, they hit tap, and I was like, yes. So congrats for Walker. But I know we were talking about off the air of Dan and I earlier. Poor Walker, you know, he was just literally kicked off, didn't get time to get dressed, kicked out of the stadium, walking around. Oh man, this poor guy. But kudos to Walker, and that was performance of the night, by the way. So I was really happy that he got his bonus. So even though he was walking with those shoes. But then later, they told Dana White at a post conference, "Oh, you got shoes." They got him shoes. Okay, I'll take care of that. I love it, man. I love it. Fantastic fight for Johnny Walker. Congratulations. Take it away, Alex. Give it to you, man. It's been a while, brother. Talk to us. What were your thoughts on this one?
So, before the fight, I picked Ion to win. And even though Walker won, it wasn't his best performance. It wasn't a good performance. Ion was winning. Ion had really good position. Looked like he was going to end the fight at one point. And then Walker, props to him. He kept fighting, escaped, scrambled, got out of those positions, and ended up getting the knockout win. I mean, Walker has a lot of heart. But you got to be honest, Walker's had some bumpy roads, up and down, yep. Had some good wins, some tough losses. Hopefully with this win, he would start going straight road to victory. So hopefully he could start. Because at one point, this guy was, you know, everyone had a lot of hype on Walker, you know, him coming up. So hopefully with this win, he'll keep it going and climb up the rankings. Because he is an exciting fighter and he's, you know, a guy you can market off for sure. So hopefully he could rack up some wins.
Absolutely. All right. Dan, take it away, my brother.
True. Like, he's talking about how the fight was. If this is the scenario where the stats and what you see on TV don't necessarily match up, and then you got to really watch it to understand everything. Because if you look at the stats, they both had 17 strikes. They both had a takedown. There was only 3 significant strikes from each guy. Both had 2 minutes of control time. But a lot of the offensive attack was from Johnny Walker. He had one reversal. He had 3 submission attempts. And really all Cutelaba was doing is what you expected him to do, go for the takedown and go for the ground and pound. And he usually, with what he does, he puts himself in bad scenarios at times because of it. Because he overextends a lot with his punches. He drains his gas tank. It's noticed, like just like you said, the face paint. He paints his face green a lot because of his nickname, the Hulk. And then he hulks out in the first round, and then he's dead the next 2 rounds if it gets to that point, and he winds up losing. And he looked good early, but then you could see Walker had a little bit more in him, and then he was able to get the back of Cutelaba and choke him out. And that's what I was surprised in. I haven't seen too much of the grappling side of Walker because he has that karate stance. He likes to point fight. And then he comes in and then he goes with one of those crazy knockouts. But then other times you see him too passive, the Thiago Santos fight. That was a perfect fight. He gets a main event fight. And you think that's a perfect situation for him to get that good recognition. because he's going up against a guy on the way down, but he's too passive. This one, he wasn't passive. I thought he did good. Just like you said, wasn't one of his best fights, but he was able to get the finish, and he utilized his movement on the ground, which hasn't been seen that much, which I was impressed in. So if he can build on this and get a nice win streak going and keep on training his ground game, he might be a good all-around fighter in the future.
Indeed. Richard, talk to me, buddy.
Ditto. No, I pretty much agree with what they both say. You know, if you look at Johnny Walker, he's not a real submission guy. Out of his 18 wins prior to this fight, he only had 2 subs. So for him to go, I mean, you pretty much have to give him, you know, an opening, which, you know, Kutalaba did and gave him his back, and he got the rear naked choke. This is a good fight. I mean, his performance was, you know, here or there, but this is a much needed win. And, I mean, there's not much to say. I mean, he deserved it, and he got the rear naked choke. And like I said, he usually fishes for a knockout. You know, the guy has, what, 15 KOs. Most of them are the first round. I mean, he fishes for that knockout, that vicious right hand, and tries to finish you. And that shows the kind of the boneheaded mistake that Kutalaba did and trying to look for these openings. And this guy could scramble, and he has I believe Johnny Walker's a black belt as well, and got the back and cinched it, and that was pretty much it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. We'll go to the next fight in the main card, and this is the shocking knockout of this one, of course, and that is Irene Aldana and Macy Chiasson. Of course, Irene winning in the third round with the back, you could say her back heel while she was in the ground and knocking the liver out of, you know, Macy Chiasson. I mean, and it's, you know, it's funny for me because watching this fight, they were both even in each round. I felt Irene had the first round. Macy had the second round for sure. It was an even fight. And I was expecting the third one to be, oh, right, this is going to go all out. But did not expect, actually, you know, and I chose Macy, you know, for her to win. And the unfortunate happened, you know, it's rare that you see in the MMA world. I mean, it's not wrong, gentlemen. But seeing a, you know, underground with the back heel of your foot, knocking out your opponent, and it's shocking. I mean, even like, in the beginning, I'm like, what happened? And then, of course, I had to go back and re-watch the replay. And then see the replay. Like, what? This was a knockout. But, hey, you know, congrats to Irene. I mean, I didn't expect, you know, after what we said last week, you know, we haven't seen Irene for a while. Did not expect this, you know, out of her. So, good, you know, good for her for winning this, you know, for winning this fight. So, take it to you, Alex. Who did you have this one last week? And what were your thoughts about the knockout on this one?
Very bizarre. it was a knockout that you never see. But it worked. Got the win for her. You know, and before this fight, it was really close. It was an even fight. It could have gone either way. And just like you said, Ivan, I had it too, like 1-1 apiece. Like first round Irene, second round Macy. So pretty much her won the third round, won the fight. And Irene, it looked like Macy was winning because she, you know, she took her down, and then Irene landed that kick, and that was it. So yeah, props to her. You know, you got to do what it takes, and it worked. And good run for her.
Yeah, definitely. Big Dan, talk to me, baby.
Yeah, just like he said, like I had the same thing. I had it 1-1 going into third. The first round, he had a lot of the striking from Irene Aldana. She has that boxing background. She was able to take advantage of it. Keep the fight standing. She outdid her by double the striking, gave her that. Second round, you saw a lot of the grappling from Macy Chiasson, which was something I wanted to see from her because we see her use the distance game. And then at times you see it, but then you don't see it consistently. But she was able to use it. She got her down, did a lot of groundwork with it. Went to the third. She was able to take her down quickly there. But then you have that moment where it was looking like she was backing up. She was going to let her get up. And then she just does the back kick, hit her right in the side. And then you see her go like this. And you're like, geez, what just happened? And one of the commentators, I forget who it did, made the point that he said it perfectly. He's like, when you get hit in the liver, it shuts your whole body down. Mm-hmm. It's just like system failure. And that's what she did, whether it was intentional, accidental, if she was just trying to get her to move back so she could get up. I wish I would have watched the post fight at the interviewed her, at Irene, to see what she was doing it for. I might actually go back after this and watch so I can see. But she just shut her down. She was just like, I'm done. She didn't want to continue. And I'm like, geez. Like, yeah, she must have hit her in a bad spot for her to want to quit, because that's basically what she did. She said she couldn't continue. And Irene Aldana gets out of it with basically with a, I'm not going to say lucky shot, but a perfectly placed a kick that won her the fight. And it's like, had Macy won, she would have shot up to the top three, and because I believe that's where Irene was at the time, I believe. But now Irene keeps her spot. And just like I said, I could see a situation now where we get Aldana fighting Vieira again. Because Vieira, since she lost to Aldana by knockout, shot up the rankings with two big wins. Yeah. So I could see a situation with how we're in that wait and see with Amanda Nunes. Apparently they might do the trilogy fight because both have a win. And then you got people waiting in the wings. So I could see a situation where you get a rematch between Aldana and Caitlin Vieira now.
Definitely. Definitely. I can see. I agree with that. Rickard.
Hey, this is a liver shot that Boss Rutten would be very proud of. I think Boss Rutten was like the king of the liver and spleen shots, where he would just drop you. And like Dan said, that one shot pretty much drops you and pretty much won't recover for a while. And that's what Irene did, you know. Look, thinking of it, the only thing that when I saw that upkick, I'm like, even Alex and I, where did she hit her in the face? Like, it was so quick. You just see her drop. Like, it was a beautiful shot. I think pretty much it's the first upkick, you know, due to a liver shot. The only closest thing I could see that reminded me of that was back in Dream when Gegard Mousasi did an upkick and knocked out Jacare Souza. It was such a beautiful heel right to the face. But this was to the body, which is just even more amazing. As I was to say, I had Macy when we were doing our picks last week. I picked Macy. I thought Macy was gonna do stand up, maybe take it to the ground, and you know, get a decision win, which was kind of heading towards that till that, you know, 2 minute mark. And Irene just threw that Hail Mary kick and landed it, and that was it. So, I mean, kudos to Irene, and we'll see where she goes from there.
I'm actually reading an interview that she had afterwards, and she said that she apparently practices that liver kick a lot in training from the ground, and they do it all the time at the gym.
All right.
I think Wash fighters started trying to do that. Like years ago, everyone, like when Jones was doing that oblique kick, everyone started doing that. Or when these guys are doing knee.
You're seeing a lot of up kicks the past 3-4 months. You're seeing a lot of them where they're very effective. Like I've seen a couple of fights where he just kicked them right in the face, it pushes them back or stuns them. I think you saw it in the Nunes fight. It happened in Nunes where she got kicked in the back and she went back. And then it took her a second to come back in and then go forward, but it stunned her. And with these fighters with the long legs, they're a very good weapon if you get taken down.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. All right. And now we move on to pretty much where everything changes, which we're supposed to have, of course, Holland Rodriguez, but we ended up having, in catchweight bout, of course, Li Jingyan versus, of course, Daniel Rodriguez. And, of course, a split decision. The win goes to the upset for Rodriguez. And, you know, I said last week, I was, you know, I said about Rodriguez, I don't think he was to defeat Holland. Honestly, this fight, for me, I like the fact that Lee took those punches from Rodriguez and the one thing that really frustrates me at times is that Lee needs to pee more guard up, man. There's times that he's not, and it disappointed me in these three rounds. The only reason why I feel that Rodriguez didn't give him this win, which I feel, you know, Dana White did mention too. I feel like it was a bad call on, and I agree. I think there was some. It was bad. I could say it was close, but I think the one who had more of the advantage was Lee because he was, you know, with, you know, pretty much with the counter strikes and more of the combo hits. He was, you know, kind of having a bit towards like the second round that I was seeing, and then also like the third round. It just, I really feel bad for Lee on this one. He should have won this one, in my opinion. I think it was close, but I felt Lee had more of the advantage. But I don't know why it split. This is where I'm just really like, what the hell? What was it? Was it how did they score it? Was it like 10-8, 10-9? I think they went 10-8. I think one of them. I didn't double check because I haven't seen.
Like, no, it was 28 to 29.
Yeah.
So they all had it 2-1. It's just that one person had Li Jiling 2-1, and the other two had Rodriguez 2-1.
Jesus Christ. But yeah, I mean, congrats, I guess, to Rodriguez for this win. Feel bad for Li, though, man. He needs to get back on the drawing board. I mean, he cannot be affording of losing these fights. And a good thing that I'm happy that White mentioned, you know, he's going to take care of Li because this is not Lee's fault. You know, he was very humble about it. And that's what I love about Li. His sportsmanship is fantastic. And I love, like, he's very humble with Rodriguez, very humble with the loss. And I'm happy that at least he hears Dana White's going to take care of him. And I hope he does because he deserves to get a big payoff after taking that fight, which, you know, of course, Rodriguez was way overweight than him. Like 10 pounds
refund him for that suit that he got.
Yeah. Hey, seriously. Do that. Man. Oh, man. Alex, give us your thoughts, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, honestly, people that won and people that lost, I think they should just get a pass because, again, these were not their original opponents. Yeah. Lee did not train for Daniel. Daniel did not train for Lee. You know? And, yeah, I mean, like I said, these guys did not train for each other. And, you know, I thought Lee won the fight. I thought Lee did enough to win the fight. I think he mixed it up really well. His stand-up, mix up late kicks. You know, Daniel made some errors and Lee, you know, counter up with some good counter punches, good kicks, and overall, yeah, I had a 2-1 Lee, and it's a shame, man. Sad. But I think Dana White's gonna give him another good fight, another big fight. And yeah, I think it'll work out for him. And just again, like you say, go back to the drawing board, fix the corrections, and next time for sure get the win, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Big Dan, take it away, brother.
I watched this fight twice because I need to watch it twice to kind of digest it, because when you watch it the first time, it does look like Lee wins it because he kind of was like attacking all of Dana Rodriguez. He attacked the head, attacked the body, and attacked the legs. But then I watched it again, and then I noticed that Rodriguez was just killing him with the jab all day. Like, he wasn't doing as much to the legs, but he was hitting the body with the jab, and then he would change the levels, hit the head. He doubled on the head, like stat-wise, over Li Jiling. Like, when you look at the stats, he had 13 more strikes landed than Li did, and it was a lot of it was the jab. He was just press him with the jab, and he had a lot of success on it. Like you said, Li Jiling was just not putting guard up and blocking the jab, and he was just getting hit. And then maybe the judges saw that as more of a problem than what Li Jiling was doing, which was he would attack the leg and then attack the body. And he only landed, I think he only landed 25 shots to the head. 25 to the head, 23 to the body, and then 30 to the leg, whereas Rodriguez was 55 to the head, 18 to the body, and then 18 to the leg. So it was like, it doesn't look as, elite from Rodriguez skill-wise since he came back from being out a year, but he landed a lot towards the head. And I feel like the judges now, I think from their safe point, the headshot is going to be worth more to them, I feel like, and then the volume. And then it comes to, with people, are you valuing damage more or are you valuing volume more? Because he did out volume in him in two of the three rounds. Li Jiling won the first round. He had 27-20. Rodriguez had 10 more strikes in the second. And then Li Jiling had that late takedown, which didn't really do much. And then the third round, Rodriguez had 34 to 27 of Li Jingling. So he almost outdid him by 10 there. But I would say Li Jingling did a little bit more damage with it. It's just that with me, there's too much time in that fight where they're just standing there, moving around, and you heard the crowd booing. And then combination by Li Jingling, then a jab by a couple of jabs by Rodriguez. So it's like, I can see why I went split decision. That the first time I watched it, I went Li Jingling. The second time, I was like, I can see why they went, two of the three judges went with Rodriguez because of the jab. It was very effective. He got in, got out, and then really there wasn't much damage by either fighter in that fight because they weren't as active as they should be.
Indeed. Rickard, talk to me, baby.
Like, Dan, you know, made a lot of points. Like you said, stat-wise, you know, Daniel landed more, but maybe to the eye, it seemed that Lee was landing the cleaner punches. And judges see that. I mean, fortunately, judges don't have, like, the stats to see it. Just whatever they, you know, the naked eye sees, they're going to judge it, which can be pretty difficult. I had it pretty clear. I thought Daniel was doing pretty well, but I could see Lee. I know Dana White was very upset. I know Dana said that he had Lee winning as well. They should have been unanimous for Lee, but I mean, not much to say. I mean, Lee has to really bounce back and try to come in back in his main card. Like Alex said, I don't think it really would affect them that much. I would still like to see him face Tony Ferguson. Like I said, I think a lot of these fights could still happen just later on down the line. I think he could face Tony Ferguson. I think Holland, he could fight Rodriguez. And so on.
Yeah. So, I think it would suck. What sucks is the fact that he lost his ranking because of this matchup. Li Jingling was 14. He drops to unranked, and Rodriguez moves to 14. And yeah, now he's ranked. I think that's what sucks. Instead of having the guy at 15 who didn't fight, just drop down.
It's because Cosmo could make damn weight.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, let's get into it already, man. The co-main event, and that is, of course, Kamsa Chimaev versus Kevin Holland in, of course, catch weight bout. And, of course, Chimaev with the win here and with a quick submission win in the first round. He rushed Kevin Holland very quickly. As you can see, Holland was trying to go for the tag. Okay, sportsmanship, you know, before starting the fight. But, no, Chimaev went rushing to it, dropped him down, you know, struggling with him to grab him in a chokehold. It was just, you know, the fans were booing. I mean, I get, you know, the MMA fans, and I get it. You know, when you miss weight, that's like a strike one with the fans. Like, that's bullshit. You're hurt. You're not giving us a fight we wanted to see. And so, and then the worst part that you don't care, you know, the way you express your emotions about it made the fans even more upset. And that's why, you know, the booing. And now this is your next heel, your next Conor could be, because, you know, right after we see, of course, you know, Joe Rogan asked him, hey, your thoughts, and you know this could jeopardize your pretty much a championship, you know, title, and he kind of brushed it off in the beginning. No, I don't care. I'll fight anybody. Who cares? Like, not giving a shit. And Rogan had to correct him. You should be worried, because what do you mean that you don't care? Who do you want to fight? And now he changed his mind, calm down a little bit. Okay, yeah, you know, but I kind of try to humble himself towards the end. But he still was, no matter what, you know, that hype and all that energy that he had, still was like, no, I'll still fight anybody. Whoa, whoa. It really makes, you know, Chimaev look bad on this one. I mean, don't get me wrong, the guy is dangerous, he's a beast. However, though, this is not the type of publicity you want to gain your fans, in my opinion. And I mean, that's just the way how I see it, you know. But two-part questions, because I want to know everybody's thoughts about this. I mean, thoughts about the fight, and should he be worried? Because now title contention is in jeopardy. Now that, you know, if this is going to be something moving forward with missing weight, and, you know, should he be concerned? So, I mean, two-part question. So take it away, Alex. The fight and the title contention in jeopardy. I want you to digress. Come on, digress. And I know you do.
It's been a long time. Future knows how I feel about this, and it's not very good. I feel this whole situation is dirty. it's bad. Deep down, I do really do feel like Chimaev took the easy way and didn't want to fight Diaz. I feel like Diaz would have been a real problem for him because Diaz is a high-level black belt. Not an easy guy to submit. And especially fighting a guy like Holland, too. Holland's also, I think Holland's a black belt. But again, Holland did not train for Chimaev. So, obviously, you know, Holland had to switch up things last minute and got the win. One thing, I already said this earlier, but I think Chimaev really went for the takedown, was really, really going for it. And I think he took that took a lot of energy, him going for that takedown. He was taking it like it was the last, like the last second. He was going for that takedown, fighting for it. And I think eventually he's going to fight a guy that could defend those takedowns, and it's not going to be easy. And then it's going to be the point where let's see what he can really do when he can't get the takedowns, can't get the submissions. I'll be honest, Khabib, great champion, but he never fought a grappler, never fought a legit grappler. It's the truth. He never fought Gaethje, not a grappler. Chandler, not a high-level grappler. Same thing with, you know, all the guys he's beaten. Dustin Poirier, not a high-level grappler. He beat Ally Quinta to become champion, not a high-level grappler. The question was, he never fought a grappler. Same thing with Chimaev, never fought a high-level grappler. The question is, what's going to happen when he fights a high-level grappler or fights a high-level stand-up guy that can defend those takedowns? Mm-hmm. That's the question, and that's what I want to see in the future, hopefully.
But is his title contention in jeopardy, though?
Heck, you know, yeah, it is. If he can't make weight, you can't give him a title shot. If he fights for the title, doesn't make weight, what's going to happen? He won't be eligible to fight for a title.
In this case, then, obviously, of course, I think they kind of questioned Dana that, hey, would you give him the title contention right away, or were you put him to fight?
He'll put him to fight somebody else to make sure if he can really make the weight. If he does if he misses weight again, they won't give him a title shot.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Dan, what was your thoughts?
This is tricky because I do think that he did it dirty a little bit. He felt like he was going to go overweight. And then what better way? Like, you got a guy in Holland who's training for a boxer in Rodriguez who doesn't drew that much grappling, so he knew he didn't have to deal with that, to then having to train for Chimaev, who is a grappler, who has a Sambo style, and it's completely different. It's just completely different. And the change, and out of all the guys, matchup-wise, he had the most to have to overcome because of the training. With all these matchups, he went in there, executed his game plan. Everybody knows that he can take down Holland, and he's prone to that. And he was able to finally get his back and sub him because he knew he had to. And the one little thing that people didn't notice was the fact that last minute this fight got moved to 5 rounds.
Yeah,
it wasn't 3; it was 5. Yeah, because Khamzat was already training for it, and then Holland was asking for it to be 5 rounds. So that's what happened. I don't think it ruins his title contentions because of the fact that who's gonna get the next title contention anyway, because you're gonna have the rematch, which we don't know when it's gonna happen yet. December, January, whenever they can do it between Leon and Usman. That lucky the lucky leg kick wind up just putting this whole division on hold by Leon. You got Colby, who's hurt. He likely won't be back into the spring, apparently, because of his injury. You got Chimaev right there. And then you got Burns, who is, I think they're making it official that's going to be him and Jorge in December. But they've been saying that for like 2 weeks now. So I'm like, I'm waiting for them to make it official already. Like, how long does it take to sign a contract? And then you got the next two guys who are fighting each other. Sean Brady is in the books with Belal Muhammad. That's taking place in a few weeks. So if Belal Muhammad can win that, he can make a case that maybe he could sneak in there from under Chimaev and get the next title shot. If he gets the win, because after that everything gets meek, because Shavkat can't get a booking to save his life. No one wants to face him. Like, he was gonna get booked with Stephen Thompson, and then Stephen Thompson said no. He said I felt like he was chickening out because it was like, what could you start having that ranking wise? Because he's already ranked at like 10 or 11 and he's above that. So I felt like he chickened out there. But then the one thing that's the wild card in this whole thing is the fact that Shemaev said he's planning to move up the middleweight. He plans to move up the middleweight. And I don't know if you saw, they asked him how he felt about fighting Robert Whittaker. And his answer was like, I don't want to fight him. He's a nice guy. He was like, I like him. I actually want to train with him and learn a little bit from him, which caught me by surprise because they tried to ask him about Paulo Costa and he just shrugged it off. So I feel like maybe he's a little scared of Costa right now. And then Whittaker said he's planning on moving up the light heavyweight. So he wouldn't have to worry about fighting him. But then Whittaker got asked, and Whittaker said that he's going to take him up on that offer to train together. So I'm interested to see that. And if he does that, it'll give Shemaev access to a guy like Jacob Malkoon, who's a high-level wrestler that he could train with. And then they can like start with him there. Because I think what they said was they would bring Shemaev out to England. I heard. So I'm hoping to see if it actually happens, because that would change things if he can learn some of that boxing skills from Whittaker, and then Whittaker could learn some of the grappling from Shemaev. It's like a good toe-to-toe with Whittaker looking to move up the light heavyweight, because he's at a standstill in middleweight, so he needs to make the move up anyway. But if he moves the middleweight, geez, that changes things for Shemaev. I don't know. it's because he has the weight there. The putting the weight on is not a problem, because we just saw like he missed weight by 8 pounds and he looks big no matter what. It's just that the style of fighters changes. You get the bigger guys who are fighting, and then I feel like there's more guys that grapple up there, like Vittori, Costa, and those are just two names right there. And then you got the champion Izzy and Ferrer, who are high level kickboxers. So it's like you're really changing who you're gonna fight the division wise, because I feel like welterweight would be a lot easier for him to dominate than middleweight.
I absolutely agree with that. I think he would be in jeopardy if he goes to that division for sure. Richard, talk to me, baby. Talk to me, my brother.
Alex, not a big fan of Cosmont.
Not a big fan. I'm pretty sure he was not a big fan. Drunk talking shit. I'm pretty sure he was watching that.
I just believe like it doesn't really hurt his chances, you know. If he does it again, if he's a repeat offender, then you're gonna have to bump up. I mean, I know John Lineker had problems, Kevin Gastelum had problems, but until Kevin, you gotta have to move up. You did three catchweight bumps,
Johnny Hendricks,
because you can't make the damn weight. Hendricks is another example. So I think if Hosmer does it again, there's going to be some talks of him and Dana saying you're probably going to have to move up. Holland just looked pretty much got ragdolled and manhandled, and Hamzat made it look really easy, just a knife to, you know, not knife to butter. I mean, I can't say anything else. And Alex and I were debating really how would it be if Hosmer fought Diaz, which we'll talk, you know, right after this. But Hosmer looked, I mean, impressive. His takedowns, I think he has Alex, again, we butt heads on this. Said his standing, his boxing isn't all that. I think his boxing is pretty good. I think he proved it versus Gilbert. I mean, he has the chin. He's still a young fighter. He still has a pretty decent chin that he'll take the punishment to deliver something back. He will get rocked, but I think he – what was it, the stats? In his last three bouts, how many times did he really got hit, which is not much.
Before the Burns fight, he only got hit 8 times in 4 fights.
Yeah. So that shows, I mean, Hamza, I think this will kind of hurt him, but he'll come back pretty soon, and I think he'll go in that title contention and try to chase, you know, that championship. I mean, I can't really hate it. I mean, his performance proved it. It just kind of sucks the 8 pounds. I don't know. He said it was a doctor involved saying that it was advising not for him to do it, but which is kind of like the first time I really hear that. I mean, we've known some horror stories of guys, I mean, trying to make weight and killing themselves to make the weight until finally they have like kidney damage, and then, okay, you're out. You're passing out back here. You shouldn't do it. Which, I mean, let's say Hamza's like, I'm not going to go that extreme, and I'm going to take the chance. I'm just going to not make the weight, which kind of sucks. I mean, changes the whole card, you know. maybe he's a little selfish. I mean, he could go all day on this, you know, his decision not to cut 8 pounds, even attempt to it. You know, we don't know how much back, how much was there, and all those conspiracy theories saying that, you know, Alec kept on saying, you know, it's dirty and all, but I mean, it is what it is. He missed 8 pounds. Hopefully he doesn't do this again. If he does, then, you know, he's probably going to have to go up a weight class.
But would you look at him as middleweight? Oh, go ahead, Mattis. Go ahead.
Oh, my bad. Dan said, mentioned it. It's true. Like, he weighed in, right? And he kind of made that look like, didn't make it, right? But when you don't make weight the first time, they usually give you an hour, right? Or 2 hours to make the weight. I didn't think he attempted it to lose the weight.
But I will say a lot of fighters have been doing that. I think last week, 5 fighters missed weight, and none of them even decided to take that extra hour. And a couple of those fighters were only a pound or two away. And then they just were like, fuck it, we're not even trying. And which is catching me off guard, because it's happening a lot more now than it used to. Like, you would see people just trying to cut it because they don't want to lose that purse. Money. And then you got, but then now lately, you got a lot of the fighters that are kind of using it as like psychological warfare, where they're like, okay, we're going to lose the purse, but then we're going to be coming a little bit heavier. And then we can pack on after we weigh in. You can put all that weight back on, and we're trying to weigh in as much as possible right into the fight, so we can use that as our advantage, especially if you're a wrestler or grappler who's looking to take the fight to the ground to begin with.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
It's just hard to believe that, like, Hamza has been pretty much a combat athlete his whole life.
Yeah.
You know, probably making weight since he was a teenager, and for him to come out like this 8 pounds is just kind of ridiculous. I mean, kudos to Joe Rogan too, pressing him. He was pressing him in the ceremony weigh-ins. Yeah. He was pressing him 3 times in the cage, like, no, you're not answering my question, and this guy yelling. And you don't have to yell. It's already hard enough to understand what you're saying sometimes. You just keep on saying, I'm a monster, I'm a killer, and yeah, kill everyone anyway. Okay, we understand that. We see it. Your proof is in the pudding. We've seen what you did to Holland and your previous opponents, but what's going to happen? I mean, have some respect and still say, hey, you know what? I fucked up. I didn't make the 8 pounds. I'm sorry. I apologize to Lee. I apologize to Holland and everyone that, you know, what we did. But there was no humbleness from him and no apologies and kind of, I'm 8 pounds overweight. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
If anything,
maybe if he wasn't picking one fights with Costa, you would have made weight. If he wasn't picking fights with people, he would have made weight.
Yeah. If anything good could come out of this, was the fact that Nate Diaz was still able to have that great moment because he had a different opponent. Because I felt like he was going to get destroyed had he faced Shamaya, because I don't think, that the Nate Diaz is the same one that came into the UFC.
Yeah. Man, let's get into it. Might as well. The main event, of course, of this card is the last fight in the UFC for Nate Diaz versus Tony Ferguson. Two legends here. And, man, Nate Diaz with the fourth round win with submission, of course, with, you know, the guillotine hold. I don't know why Ferguson's camp decided to tell him, take him down, because you thought you hurt his leg. And here's one thing that really gets me upset. But then it doesn't at the end, because you know why? This is how you could tell that. I don't know if people caught this, but I think these two guys were really like, man, let's just have fun. Who gives a shit? I'm getting paid. I'm leaving. You're getting paid. So fuck Dana White pretty much right in his face. It's like, that's how I feel. Because the fact is that Ferguson giving Diaz the time to take a small break and not going after the kill. That tells you something there automatically, that this was not even a serious, you know. Of course, we mentioned that we're not supposed to be fighting each other, of course. However, though, people want to see a main event. People want to see, let's go all out of this fight. But it didn't happen that way. It was just more like, hey, you know what? It's just, you know, I'll hit you. I'll do some kicks, do some punches. You just kick me, cool, all right. And I'm pretty sure they're like, yeah, you don't want to take it home, man. Hey, the camp, let's take it. Take them down. Big mistake. You know, I felt Diaz, you know, on the ground, you do not want to go ahead with Diaz on the ground. Diaz is a fantastic grappler on the ground. He will get you, and he did. And funny thing with this one, he didn't even get all of it to make Ferguson tap. And that's what I'm like, yeah, this this fight, this main event, as much as it was fun for them, but at the end, I'm happy that Diaz got his moment, his final run, you know, his final run in the UFC, saying his goodbyes, saying, you know, he's going to try some other, you know, try other adventures. Maybe, you know, I've been saying Bellator every time. Bellator, damn it, he's going to Bellator.
Well, he already got called from BKFC, so.
Oh, you see, there you go. Jesus, man. But I'm happy for Diaz and for Ferguson at the end. I, like I said, they got it. So I know, and so that to be a performance of the night, I'm like, okay, let them have it. You know what? Let them have it. Let Diaz have his moment. I'm glad that Diaz was like, yeah, even though we have, you know, we have ups and downs with the UFC and Dana White, you know, and the Fatuda brothers, but I want to thank them, say, I want to thank everybody, you know, that, I'm glad that he was humble, you know, that he was given an opportunity to exit the way he wanted to. And hopefully we see him back. And if we do see him back, I think he's going to be more dangerous than ever if he, you know, if he comes back. But I'm happy for him, happy for Ferguson. He's got his moment too. You know, hearing this, you know, after what he mentioned after fight, he was happy as well for Nate Diaz. So kudos to these two gentlemen, two legends. For sure, Nate Diaz, a future Hall of Fame, UFC Hall of Famer for sure. I mean, it's right there in the pudding. That's facts. But the question now is, what's next for Ferguson? What's next for Diaz? And were you guys happy with this main event? So, take it to you, Alex.
Yeah, I mean, Diaz and Ferguson was going to be a fight that obviously between two legends that done a lot for the sport. You know, and I think both these guys looked into it like, you know what, this, you know, you're a striker, I'm a striker. Let's just go out there and have a good, just put on a good show for the fans and just put on an exciting fight, in which they both did. And yeah, I mean, I love Ferguson, but it's getting to the point where retirement talks come in. Obviously, Ferguson's not in his prime anymore. Obviously, coming off losses with, you know, this one, I think he lost to Chandler, you know, coming off that knockout loss, which was, you know, was bad. And then obviously, Gaethje. And yeah, I mean, so he's had a few losses. Yeah, and DeRouge. So, you know, yeah, I mean, I think, but again, did not train for this fight. you know, so, but yeah, we'll see what happens with Ferguson. I would like to see maybe fight one more time, maybe like a farewell fight for him. But then again, if he was to retire, or, you know, it's not a bad way. You know, you main event of the pay per view, fought Nate Diaz, you know. Not a bad way, but I would like to see him fight one more time. And if he was to win or lose, I think he should, you know, hang it up. Again, legend of sport. And then for Diaz, you know, you got bare knuckle already, you know, calling him, you know, to the box, which I believe, I really do believe that that's a huge possibility that it could really do happen. I do see him maybe going to bare knuckle and fighting Mike Perry. Think, you know, David Feldman already said that would be like a freaking dream fight between him and Perry, boxing, bare knuckle. Why not? You know, I think it would be a big
after that, after the Perry MVP one, that'd be great.
Yeah. So that, I think it's a huge possibility that could actually happen because, I mean, obviously I think he wants to fight Jake Paul, but right now Jake Paul has a big fight against Anderson Silva. So what's going to happen? You know, Diaz has to be busy. So, you know, why not fight bare knuckle? Why not fight Mike Perry? It's probably going to make a, honestly, probably make a bigger paycheck than fighting the UFC. We'll probably give him percentages, you know, that probably UFC wasn't giving him, you know. It'll be a good fight for him. But yeah, I think he'll go boxing, try to get that big fight with Jake Paul, and go from there. And then he has his own fight company too, I think, which he's starting to. You know, so it's smart for him.
It worked well for Nick Diaz, so why wouldn't he do it?
Oh yeah, he did have a fight company.
Remember that?
Yeah. Promotion? War was it war something like that? Yeah.
Something war promotions, I don't know.
But we'll see. We'll see what happens with Nate. Yeah.
Definitely, man. Big Dan, talk to me, baby.
Yeah, I could see it be a situation where he's doing two things at once because we've seen But like I said, we saw Michael Venom and Page that Belcher allowed him to do the BKFC event in London against Perry, where I believe it went to overtime. Yeah. And they had a great fight. Like, it made me want to rewatch it because it was entertaining. And Belcher knows that, yeah, there's money in it for us too, because it's getting our guy exposure, and then he wind up winning, so that's good for them. I could see a situation where he goes to BKFC, but then does the boxing thing as well, because it's more eyes on a guy within BKFC, who if he gets a matchup against Jake Paul down the line, that's money for BKFC, because they can promote it, and that's huge for a promotion like that, that's looking for anything that they can, of course. But this was a fun matchup for what it was, being booked 2 days beforehand. This wasn't too bad for Ferguson. He was prepping for a striker anyway. It's just that Nate Diaz came in with a lot more aggressive spurts at times, but he had no answer for the calf kick of Ferguson. He landed it 35 times. There was a point in time where Nate Diaz fell down because he got kicked. That's how bad his leg was looking, and that's why you saw him just walk off, because he was getting pissed off. So he would walk off, and he was like, I'm done. And he would just walk off, walk over. And then when Ferguson would turn away, he would go at Ferguson. And he was just getting frustrated with the fact that Ferguson knew how to counteract him with the leg kicks. And it, just like he said, it took one mistake by Ferguson to try and go to the ground for him to get finished. Because that fight was, to me, like, a lot of people had like 3-1 Diaz. I had it 2-2, I had it 2-2 or whatever it was, up until that point. I had it close because those leg kicks did a lot of damage. Not just, okay, hit him a little bit. They did a lot of damage over time, and it was having its effects on Diaz. But then Diaz had those spurt moments where he was getting in a lot on Ferguson, and then it got the submission finish. It was a great way to end his career with a win. There was very good sportsmanship-wise of him. He said great things for Ferguson. He was like, it was nice to end with the OG in Ferguson with that win. It was like he gave props to Dana White for giving him his shot in the UFC. Said nice things, even though they butt heads at times. He even said, he was like, throw up and downs. I'm always going to give you praise for giving me my chance in the UFC. So that was good. Of course, he had one of the, I think he wound up getting, I think, a bonus with it too for the finish.
Yeah. Performers of the night,
So he got to make extra. So with that, so that's always good. You know, he kind of doubled, I would say he doubled down on not taking the purse from Chimaev, and he wound up getting it anyway by getting the performance of the night against Ferguson. So it all worked out for Nate Diaz in the end. And now he can go off and do whatever he decides, like a fighting company, BKFC, boxing. Hell, he could probably do all three if he wanted to. He's going to have plenty of time to do that so now. So
love it, love it. Rickard, talk to you, baby.
I don't know. I mean, Nate it was a good fight. Like I said, you guys know how I feel about him and everything. You know, I got off the Diaz train a while ago. But, I mean, you can't deny, you know, he had a great career. He thanked everyone except his daddy, Conor McGregor. I mean, he made him a made man, so I don't know why he didn't thank him. I know Alex hates that. But, you know, I mean, let's be honest, ever since that McGregor fight, I mean, he's been on a roll and getting the BMF title fight. And, you know, that there are certain fights that make your career in that fight. I wish to end that trilogy. I wish that he could have one more fight and McGregor comes back and let's end it right there. I think that would be the perfect fight. But I don't think he says that, you know, I'll come back and I'll go for a title, whatever. But let's be realistic. It's kind of hard. Diaz is, what, 38 years old right now. The best bet, like Dan was saying, is, you know, go test the waters, maybe fight Jake Paul, you know, or go to BKFC and earn those big paychecks, you know. Put some money in your bank account and, you know, go right after the sunset and live a good life, you know. That's the best bet. Ferguson, I know he said he's not done yet, but, I mean, let's be honest, Ferguson didn't look so great out either. I mean, those leg kicks were doing damage. I don't know why he went to the ground. I don't know why his corner said, you know, go to take him down, especially. And he did really good off his back, especially when you're in his guard. Your best bet to pretty much go side control and try to go from there. But going to guard was a bonehead move, and he got choked down, put his head in, and got guillotined. But other than that, maybe one more fight for Ferguson, and that's pretty much it. I don't really want to see Ferguson fight anymore and take that much damage. Pretty much my thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's even Cormier was just saying the same thing. It was just like, hey, you know what? He's done. I think Ferguson should just hang the gloves. I think there's something else to prove. And Kukui is not, it's at his peak already, should retire, and maybe he should. I'm with Alex, you know, like one fight, farewell. That's it, you know. I know you want to be a Cerrone, keep on going. And I love Donald Cerrone, you know, I love Cowboy, but he pushed himself to the limit. That was another guy that Dana had a force to retire. Like, you got to, that's it, buddy. I mean, there's nothing else to prove. You're pretty much like done. Yeah, right, exactly. So, I mean, it's, you know, we're seeing that route, that, you know, for Ferguson heading towards the sunset, and he should. As much as
BJ Penn route.
It sucks because had he have gone to Jackson Wink like four fights ago, this would have been different because he looked a lot better than he did the three fights previous, because he actually went to a fight camp and he actually was training better than he was before. So it's like this is a situation maybe a little too late getting started with something like that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, man. I mean, this overall was, for me, it was still great overall, the card, even though, like, none of these fighters, six fighters, were training to fight each other. But we're hoping that we don't see this outcome again, because now that I'm reading right now, too, that the Nevada State Athletic Commission is going to be launching an investigation on this situation, why it was not canceled. So that's going to be interesting, this, you know, development there. I'm very intrigued. Well, how's that going to turn out to be? And hopefully it doesn't affect Dana and doesn't affect anything there overall. So, yeah, now if they're going to launch an investigation for this, yeah, hopefully it does not. I mean, hopefully it doesn't.
Because nothing was disclosed, like, hey, you know, fighters pay. That's one thing I was kind of surprised. Nothing. Even the preliminary card, there was three catchweight belts.
Yeah,
like Chris Barnett missed it by 2 pounds, and he couldn't even lose the 2 pounds. Like, really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's insane. I mean, hopefully, you know, this one turn into a turmoil. Hopefully, it doesn't affect nothing. But it's already been done, so that's what I'm like. Why are you gonna launch the investigation now? The event's already over. It doesn't make any sense to me.
There's been a history of that. Let's be honest. Like, even when Mark Hunt. What, UFC 200 and fought
Brock Lesnar? Yes,
they knew,
I forgot.
They knew he would fail.
So steroids,
and they still put him in there. They already knew that already. Like,
yeah,
and he's still trying to fight. He's still fighting it, and it's years later.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. So I mean, man, I think even Chimaev's coach, I think he's thinking about putting him into middleweight. Man, I think honestly. Yeah. I would too. Honestly, might as well. You want to talk all that shit? Put yourself in the middleweight, buddy. Because I don't think you will handle, you know, how you broke it down, Dan. Jesus, that will change the middleweight. I think the middleweight itself will be more heading than where it is at right now. And adding him to that picture, I know Dana will make it happen. He'll book Paulo Costa versus Chimaev for his debut as a middleweight, if that does happen. I think he should book it.
I just imagine the Chimaev versus Jared Cannonier, who get as far up as a heavyweight, but here he is cutting weight down to middleweight. Like, that's a matchup, because you got a lot of these kickboxers where they could keep him at bay a little bit. That could challenge him. Like, I see him, Ferreira, of course, Izzy, Vittori's no slouch. He's a high-level wrestler. That would be fun, Vittori and Chimaev, because they'd just be wrestling all day on the mat. Like, you got, like, Strickland. The only thing that would be kind of, like, iffy is Darren Till, who is his training partner, you know. He would never face him. But you got Darren Till, Andre Muniz, he's a good wrestler, Gastelum. Gee, there's just a lot of guys in that middleweight that would create really fun matchups for him, because they could grapple with them.
Yeah, I definitely agree, man. We just have to wait to see what happens. You know, how's going to be booked for December? I'll tell you that. Man. But overall, I enjoyed it. I don't know if you guys enjoyed this event. I really did. It wasn't bad. I was happy with it. So that's it. But man,
who's a Tapology champ, Ivan?
I don't think there's no Tapology champ, man. How could we? Okay.
That's cool. I looked up the scores. I beat all right. you and I beat Alex. I did my research and I won it.
All right, all right. Let me go to the scorecard.
Do it.
Let's go to the scorecard. Let's go.
I'm on a losing streak.
All right, all right. Let me check. Oh, Jesus. Where did I go? I need to go to my profile, right? Let me tap in as the devious one. Jesus. Oh, okay. All right, Rickard. We'll give it to you. Let's see. All right. Jesus.
Dirty promoter, Ivan.
I am not a dirty promoter. So hold on.
I see what you're trying to do.
No, I'm not doing anything.
You're trying to see what you're trying to do, Don King.
Oh, yeah,
Give him time. He's trying to hack on to Tapology right now.
I can share my screen if you guys want me to.
He's going to log into his 5 accounts.
Look, I'll check right now. Look, I'll share my screen so you guys can see. Look, I'm checking them right now. Look, I had what, 265? So yeah, I had to look 4 out of 12. Okay, now I need to go to your scorecard. So let's see. I'm following you guys. So all right, let me go to Alex's scorecard. Okay, his picks. I need to go to his picks. Where's your picks?
Right there.
Yeah. You're at 400, Alex. So, yeah, all right.
He's 400.
Yeah, you're 400. You're 400. Okay, now let's go to Rickard and let's see what Rickard is all about. All right, let's picks. Let's go to your picks. 490. All right, all right.
Woo!
All right. Rickard, you are now crowned 2-time.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Because Chris got disqualified. And also, Chris wanted to ask, and now next time, Dan will compete next time for the next event.
Do you want to show mine?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, let me follow
this. Wait, a damn minute.
you don't want to see it.
You don't want to see mine.
What's your username?
It's under Cage My IQ.
Oh, okay. I'm going to find it. Is it here? Right here? Or where?
Yeah. You just type Cage My IQ and it should pop up right away.
All together?
Yeah. Well, you can do the spaces.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got to capitalize it. Oh, Jesus. Come on. Find it. Oh, there we go. Oh, wait, is that you? Wait, no. It's everything. Search all. Search. I gotta find you. Jesus. You know what? Share your screen, Dan. Show him your score.
Okay.
Let him remove mine.
What are we doing here?
He's gonna show us his score.
What's going on?
Richard's like, no. Hey, we'll have Dan compete on the next one. The next one we'll have. Just we'll let you have this
one. What was that, 495? What was that, 495? Shit.
Let's see.
What is that?
680.
Wait a minute.
He had 11 out of 13. Wow. Yeah,
new champ.
No way.
New champ.
You know what? Yeah, sorry, Richard. You were close, but I didn't want to disappoint you. And now we got a new Tapology World Champion.
His debut. He won the title.
His debut, and he won the title. 11 out of 13. I know you were excited. I know you were fucking excited.
He was talking about this shit all day, Ivan.
I was like, I want it. It's over.
Yeah. She 11 out of 13. Jesus.
So wait, I'm gonna wait.
I had to pour a Shemaev right there, you know.
Right? Yeah. I was gonna say that right now. Like,
just pour it under your rug, you know.
Oh my god! And now Chris
I'm gonna pull a Tony Khan and be like, "This will never happen. I got a lot of money, and I guarantee you, this will never fucking happen again." Oh my gosh! Pull a Tony Khan over here.
I love it, man. Well, man, we'll be back fucking next. We'll be back next time, ladies and gentlemen. We thank you all for tuning in. Today was fantastic. Now we have Dan as part of our crew now for these MMAs. We can also follow, of course, Mr. Cage of IQ. And he just took out his predictions for this week's UFC Fight Night, which is Sanhagen and Song. So check that out. That's going to be, you know, he took out his predictions. So, and I'm very intrigued of his picks. But, man, we're going to be back here. Night. Oh, yes, on Fight Night. This is Saturday, ladies and gentlemen. And then, of course, the next UFC is 280 in Abu Dhabi, October 22nd. This is a stacked card because I'm excited. We have, of course, Oliveira versus Islam Makhachev for the light. Oh, man. Is this for lightweight title? It should be, right? For the undisputed. It's vacant, I know, yeah. But it should be okay, so it's vacant.
Yeah, it's for the vacant title.
Oh, man, you got Aljamain Sterling defending the bantamweight championship versus TJ Dillashaw. Peter Yan versus Sean O'Malley. I'm excited for that one. Oh, and Benel Dariush versus Garmon. Oh, my God. This is going to be...
it's stacked when Muhammad versus Brady is on the prelims.
I did see that.
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be a fucking... fight, man. I'm fucking stoked. I don't know if you guys are stoked, but I am. I can't wait to do our predictions for that. I cannot wait. But I am excited for this Saturday, so I mean, fight night too. I mean, you have Corey Sanhagen, you know, Sung Jiandong, Nishukani, you know, Rodriguez, Andrew Finley versus Bialego, and Joseph Pfeiffer versus Adam Mosky, and Tanner Bosker versus Rodrigo Nascimento, and Anthony Hernandez versus Marc-Andre Bourdon. So, yeah, looks like it's a good, you know, it's a good card. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
I'm looking forward to Chidi Chikani versus Rodriguez. That's going to be probably one of the most entertaining fights on the card.
Definitely. I'm going to have to watch that for sure. But, man, yes. Dan, let the people know. Very brief, where can they catch you?
You can find me on YouTube and on Twitch and, of course, on Instagram at CageByIQ. You can find my my Twitter at CageIQ. Just like he said, I just put out my prediction show with my coach, Jim, on Monday, so you can check them out. Let me know what you think. Of course, after this, we got a week off because – there's no fight card next weekend, so you get a little bit of recharge. But I'm going to be doing my one on Amazon Prime 2 predictions for one championship. And then you got Bellator, which is coming to Dublin, Ireland. So I might do a quick 10-minute one for that one as well.
Romero versus Manoff.
Yeah. Oh, yes. All right, yes. Richard, Alex, Modest and Pain. Let them know where can they catch you guys and what's coming up. What's in store on Championship on the Line? We haven't seen it in a long time.
What are you talking about?
I'm just kidding. You, Alex.
I'm just kidding. You can catch us on YouTube. We put our post out all of our interviews. We're on Spreaker. We're on, if you want to hear the audio version, we're also on Apple Podcasts. We're on Twitter, Instagram, and on TikTok too, where you can find us on TikTok also. And so we got a new episode coming out.
MySpace.
Yeah, AOL, MySpace, Tumblr.
MySpace. What the fuck? MySpace.
Go back to my high school days.
We got a new episode coming out this Friday. We got a couple episodes coming out the next few Fridays. So buckle up. We have some good episodes coming up. This Friday we got another podcast. We're going to be on the podcast. His name is Carlito Palomo, who does a lot of boxing. And you guys know me, I love boxing. So we talk a lot about boxing, a lot about wrestling. It's a cool conversation. So talk about all about boxing. So yeah, this Friday on our
YouTube. How do you feel about Saturday night?
It's gonna be exciting. Yeah, I know a lot of people are putting this fight down, but I think it's gonna be really exciting. I think it's a rematch. It's the trilogy. It's Canelo versus Golovkin. I think Golovkin's gonna surprise some people. I think, in my opinion, I think he won the first two fights. But we'll see. See if Canelo could see if we could put him away.
Definitely. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure and subscribe to Hear Me Familia. This is my family right here that I cherish and love very much. I do miss your fucking ass, Alex. Now you're here. I'm glad you're back. Hopefully we see you here more often. You know, Richard is holding it down, baby, because, you know, Richard is holding it down.
Yeah.
And also my brother Dan. We were just missing the coach and, of course, the director. But, of course, they had to take care of all the, issues that I take care of, so everything's okay.
They'll be big back time, and a rock star and MMA superstar.
Yeah, you got a rock star, you got an MMA superstar. Well, Fighter Prep One. I mean, you got the rock star from Fate Destroyed, so of course, we got to hold down the ground here. But once again, don't forget to subscribe to my brothers here. Follow them on all the social media platforms and on their YouTube channel, as Dan provides them with the best MMA content, interviews, and also pro wrestling as well. And, of course, Richard and Alex provides you the best MMA, boxing, and wrestling as well, with interviews and great conversations they have. So tune in for this Friday. And go check out Dan's predictions for this fight night if you want to get into it. You might want to check out because, yeah, you want to debate with Big Dan, debate on his YouTube channel and say he would love to debate with you guys from UFC. That's for sure. Or for any MMA, promotion. So. There you have it. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you once again. And for all the audio platform listeners, shout out to Brazil. Gracias por escucharnos. Because I know the big MMA fans out there in Brazil that really enjoyed our content. Thank you so much for supporting us, for us to keep on going. We do it for you guys. And we'll bring you some more MMA action. 280, cannot wait. I think everybody here is excited. I'm excited. But once again, ladies and gentlemen, the host TV is when I've been seeing here with my boy Big Dan, and of course the modest of pain that brings that pain in that cage and the rage. Coach Rage is not here, but follow Coach Rage too. but yes, remember, Cage My IQ, Championship on the Line podcast, EYR, Fate Destroyed, COD, DeLorean. We don't just make podcasts, we all make fucking history.
Worldwide?